Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Jason Gleaves wrote a book called UFO Encounters, Up Close and Personal. And this is up close and personal to people in the field from around the world who have commented on some of their favorite cases or their first case. One person that you include here is Robbie Graham. Robbie Graham has been on the show. He publishes books as well, just like Philip Mantle. And the title of his section is Remembering the UFO I Never Saw. What, pray tell, is that?
See, again, it's something, an experience, a sighting, etc., that obviously stuck with Graham, going through his early on, you know, the days, you know, from the school with his friends and right the way through where they actually saw a cylindrical shaped object hovering over the car. You know, he can remember the bridge, etc., going over the river at the time and things like that. You know, Canic, a place called Canic Chase Forest, again, which is probably well known for a UFO hotspot in the UK, in Staffordshire, which is like central England. And it's actually not too far from the RAF Cosford incident. You know, we're talking the same region of the UK. So, you know, again, a lot of people have seen things in respect, you know, and he calls it, you know, the Oz factor relation, going over, you know, sightings and et cetera, and especially unusual things and things that actually, you know, stick out, you know, and he can remember it in quite real depth. It was pulsating on and off, you know, the object they saw over the car. It was steady, circular, you know, red light above it, you know, and it was about 30 foot above the, you know, the bridge. So, you know, again, it's things that stuck out in his mind especially, and he wanted to actually put this forward in the book. And I'm sure the readers, you know, will read up and again be astonished by what he's actually saying.
I wanted to ask you, and this is something that is outside of your book, but considering your past history with doing photograph analysis, what do you think of the, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right, the Calvine photos that has just been released recently?
Yeah, that was the recent released images. Well, image, I know there was 6 images, I think, in total, but the original image released of the UFO and in Scotland, and it was UK researcher David Clark who'd actually been trying to find this original photograph. And this photograph has always been known as the image that was on the back of the door in the UK military X-Files sort of, you know, office, going way back. You know, we're talking 30 years ago, and it's been there ever since. And it was a huge triangle, diamond-shaped craft, photographed by, I think it was 2 hikers in Scotland. And again, the thing about this image is that, you know, it's quite clear, the one I've seen and analysed as well. Anyone who wants to see the footage, they can go and look on my Facebook page. It's all on there. But in rear of this object, there's a military aircraft within shot as well. And again, I know what the aircraft is. It is an RAF Harrier jump jet, which were based at the time in one of the RAF military bases in Scotland. And again, it's you know, there's an awful lot of detail in this, but David, through his research, has actually unearthed it from an officer, Craig Lindsay, his name, and he actually held a copy of it for all these years. You know, he was told to get rid of all the other copies that were actually sent at the time to the Daily Record a newspaper in Scotland who in turn sent the images to the MOD, and again they went missing or lost, which is the usual story that we hear. And this was one image that he actually kept himself, the RAF officer, and obviously got rid of the rest of them, or, you know, whatever he did with them. And I'd love to have seen the other images, but again, the thing about this image as well, that the MOD, or, you know, people in charge of that side, didn't want it revealing until the year 2072 because of privacy concerns. That was the reason they gave, which again just makes it highlight even more. I mean, it puts more question marks around it, doesn't it, when somebody wants to hide it and keep it from public view. And I analysed it, and again, you know, this is a huge craft. I can't see any wings or propulsion. Again, like we said, it's no conventional type of aircraft, as in the Harrier jump jet behind or to the side of it. Again, within the photograph, we can see all around the area. So you've got the mountain ranges, the fields, etc. And again, that is always great for perspective within photographs, because you can get a degree. The craft appears to be hundreds of feet in size. And again, it's come under, well, was it a secret covert craft again, or was it a secret military craft that we didn't know about, or was it extraterrestrial in origin? Again, I don't suppose we're ever going to really know this. All we can do is look at the image, but it's one of those fascinating images that has come to light. And again, thanks to David Clark, who's, you know, he's actually done great work in getting this out. And it's just one of those old cases that, you know, it's back up there again, and now we know the photograph exists.
Yeah, this is one of these cases where, you know, now that the photograph has come out, and there seems to be this kind of like knee-jerk reaction that it was, you know, some kind of black budget, top secret aircraft that was flying around, you know, because at that time, I seem to remember that there was, you know, like a flap of especially like triangular shaped UFOs over that area. But, you know, you look at this photograph, and even if you're looking at something, you know, at its side, it doesn't look like anything that was being tested or flown around at that time.
Nothing like you just said. It's nothing explainable, but that doesn't mean it's not explainable, as in it's secret or covert. Again, like I said earlier, I didn't know of the F-17 stealth fighter until I saw it for myself in Desert Storm. So, yeah, we go back to craft. Was it, you know, a nuts and bolts type of craft? Again, you know, people from all around the world, you know, when they send me images, you know, they'll send me pictures of, you know, orbs or, you know, disc-shaped or whatever. But when I first started in ufology and analysing them, coming from military and ex-aerospace, you know, I used to build the Airbus aircraft, you know, unless a UFO was nuts and bolts or whatever, to me it wasn't real, it didn't exist in that respect. But over time within ufology, my, you know, opinion has changed vastly, you know, and we've got to start thinking outside the box, you know, because a lot of these craft are probably multidimensional, you know, in relation to anything we know about. You know, the technology is far and superior of anything we've got or ever had. So, yeah, you know, especially with that actual photograph, the Calvine, it's something huge. For that size to be in the air without any form of propulsion, you know, as in exhaust ports like a jet aircraft would have, you know, we're probably talking some sort of anti-gravity to keep it up there. Again, that's technology. Whether we actually got that in you know, the lockers of the covert community, we don't know, but I'm guessing so that we have. You know, it's all opinions, and people will have, you know, remarks and opinions on this type of thing until we actually get the full facts.
Hey, we'll have many more full facts. with Jason Gleaves, who will hang for the After the Paracast podcast for our Paracast Plus. So there's a lot more talk about Jason, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jason, obviously, a lot of what you say is these craft exhibit flight characteristics that we can't duplicate. But aren't there sightings there around the world where it may just be test aircraft?
Yeah, of course. Again, it comes back to the old UFO. You know, UFO is unidentified flying object. Until you actually know what that craft is, it's always going to be unidentified. Again, with people that send me images, you know, I try to do the research of the person, etc. The area, I always ask the person if there are airports or military bases local to the sighting or where the picture was taken, you know, and then you eliminate birds, drones, cloud formations, you know, things like that. You try and go down everything you can, even down to night shots. So if you've got a nighttime shot of a light or, you know, something unusual, you would look at the satellite apps, which are readily available. Anyone can actually see them. I think one is actually called Heavens Above. And if you actually put your location wherever you are in the world and time, etc., it will tell you what is actually flying over your head at the time, whether it's a satellite, etc. So you can eliminate things like that. Again, with aircraft, there's aircraft apps. You can see what aircraft are around. And once you've eliminated all these things, then you can start to narrow down what you think it might be. And if you've eliminated an awful lot of things, and again, if you've got pictures of aircraft from a distance, the human eye can play tricks on you too as well, because through different weather, you know, phenomena, you know, sunsets and things like that, aircraft can lose, you can actually lose the sight of the wings, etc. So it looks like it's an elongated, elliptical shaped craft when in fact it is an aircraft. So, you know, you've got to eliminate an awful lot of things in respect of that. It's not a guessing game, but you're trying to, you know, like I said, do your Sherlock Holmes and roll your sleeves up and just get in there. And then what you're left with is a very small percentage of, you can actually pass it on to other ufologists and other experts, you know, within the field who can come up with their opinions of what they think it might be.
In your past, when you did this kind of photo analysis, was there any case that you ran across that the opinion had been, up until the time that you were looking at it, that this was actually, you know, a real photograph of something unknown, but after you were done with it, you were like, I beg to differ?
Yeah, there's been a few. Like I said, I've been brought up, I had a sighting with my sister when I was age seven years old in Liverpool. That's how I was introduced to ufology. You know, before that, I had no desire to think what a UFO would be, or, you know, unusual craft. I knew what an aircraft looked like, things like that. You know, during the 70s, mid-70s, you know, I had no interest. And I saw this disc-shaped craft outside the window with my sister. We both saw it, and you know, we were playing upstairs in a relative's house in Liverpool, and this thing took off at high velocity, and then we just carried on playing as if nothing had happened, you know. Yeah, you know, I've sort of gone on and looked into things, and then it's that's where I started to read more books, obviously. You know, I'd started to get the grasp and the feel of UFOs and wanting to know a bit more as you're getting older. You know, unusual things happen to you. And then, obviously, you're brought up watching, you know, the likes of Arthur C. Clarke and reading lots of UFO unexplained books, etc. And one of the cases that I actually looked into was the Solway Firth spaceman case. And I'm sure many people have seen this case. And it was of a young girl that was a photograph was taken on the, and like a Moors, you know, with a father and other family members that are present. And this photograph was her, and then above her head, you can see a spaceman standing behind her. Well, what looks like a spaceman. I went into this case in more depth because I just assumed, like everybody else, it was a legit spaceman, UFO, ET, standing behind this young girl, and it was one of those one-in-a-million shots, camera shots. Like I said, I did my research, got into real depth, and realised that there's actually more photographs available of the, you know, what happened that day. The famous one with the spaceman standing behind, but within the other photographs of family members who were present with her at the time, and one was of a mother that was with and the father. But the mother was wearing a certain type of dress, like a short sleeve dress, etc. Long story short, I managed to run it through filters, change and everything, so I could see in more detail. And I overlaid the image of the mother with the dress, etc., over this original photograph of the one standing behind the young girl and above her, and they matched, you know, pretty well, I thought, anyway, at the time. Again, the father who actually took the photograph, the camera involved that was used was the old type that didn't have a viewfinder. So like modern day cameras, where you have a viewfinder so you know what type of photograph you're taking and everything, you know, that's actually captured. And this old camera used by, the photographer was one without a viewfinder. So when you took a photograph, you virtually put it above your head and then you took the photograph and then cross your fingers that you actually got the photograph that you wanted. It was a bit of, bit of luck sometimes within the shot. So when he took the photograph, he said at the time, which he believed, that there was no one standing behind the young girl when the photograph was taken. So when he took the photograph, he was actually above his head. He actually had the camera above, which is out of his eyesight, so he couldn't see. So I believe what he said, there was no one standing behind because he couldn't see, but the camera picked up the mother standing behind. Anyway, long story short, I overlaid the images and came back with what I believe to be it was the mother standing behind and not the spaceman, as we called it. So then that was one case. Another case was the Apollo astronauts when they were going to the moon. Whether you believe we went to the moon or not, that's beside the point. They were going and they were taking photographs out of the capsule. And they said that when they were going, that they were actually followed to the moon by other objects and craft, etc., which I believe they probably were. But on this image, you could see a UFO. And I think it was Bob Dean who actually showed this UFO image through his talks and things over the years that I've looked at. And like I said, why wouldn't I believe it like anybody else? But I went into, did my research again and it broke it down. And I thought, well, I need to see the original image from the NASA archives that said that this UFO, if I can find the original one, then surely this UFO will be there and I can do a proper analysis of it and go in more depth.
We will go into more depth in our next segment with Jason, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News.
Former January 6th Committee Senior Technical Advisor Denver Riegelman claims he has knowledge of someone in the White House calling a Capitol rioter during the 2021 attack.
You get a real aha moment when you see that the White House switchboard had connected to a rioter's phone while it's happening. That's a big, pretty big aha moment. I only know one end of that call. I don't know the White House end, which I believe is more important.
New Jersey public school students will be the first in the country required to learn about climate change while in the classroom. Starting this school year, the First Lady of New Jersey, Tammy Murphy.
I would say that the importance is that, you know, climate change is really becoming a reality. I think we all know that.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jason, let us go into more depth. More to talk about that case?
Yeah, like I said, I needed to get hold of the original photograph. Like I said, like I always try to do, I always try to work from the original best, you know, for detail, etc. So I actually got the serial number of the photograph, went into the archives, NASA archives, and found the image that they said. And when I looked at the original image, there was no UFO on there. It was just blank space, and you could see the window of the craft, you know, the capsule that it was taken from. So I just thought, well, it's not there. You know, maybe it's a mistake, or it's deliberately been taken out of the archives or whatever. And then so I thought, well, I'll go a couple of images either side of that image. So I did. I went through the archives, and when I went a couple either side, I found the image, and again it stood out. I saw that there's the UFO. You know, it's disc shaped, just like Bob Dean had said, you know, in his talks. And I thought, wow, you know. So I went into great, you know, detail again. I enlarged the image, blew it up, high definition, you know, and did my usual thing. And when I actually went through the filters, I started seeing sort of shadows that you wouldn't normally see that you can pick up. And again, long story short, when I did the research and everything, the third stage of the rocket, the Apollo rocket that was actually jettisoned, and it actually followed them towards the moon in the same direction. It went off in a slight, you know, angle to their craft, but it's still going towards the moon. Basically, it was the third stage rocket, which was actually rotating. So as it rotated in a certain way, it would actually reflect the sun. And when it came to the top and it revealed the fuel tanks, you could see the fuel tank at the top. So when you saw the view from your view in the craft, it was elliptical in shape. So again, I just did a really basic thing. I got the overlay of the UFO image that Bob actually put out there. and the one of, I got a freeze frame of it, of the one of the third stage Apollo rocket, and just did a basic overlay, and it was a perfect match. And again, so there's another one that was, I thinking to myself, well, that was a UFO that we thought, or, a, you know, like the Solway Firth, it was an ET, and it turned out not to be. So, you know, if you actually do the work and get into these cases, you can actually find that they're not actually what they are. You know, if you get into the facts of the cameras used and the time and other things in relation to the location and, you know, other factors that you can, not necessarily always taken into account, but there are very important factors, you know, like the third stage of the rocket, you know, things like that. If you can actually eliminate it from your research, then it comes back down to, is it a UFO? You know, I say UFO, is it an extraterrestrial craft? You know, we don't know what it is, but on these cases, I managed to find out what they were.
I'm trying to find a new book right now. Since you were talking about NASA, isn't there a case in your book where there is a photograph, I think it was taken from Apollo 14, of something seen on the moon?
Which book was that, sorry? Was that the first book? Or?
Well, I was thinking it was, I saw it in your new book. I was reading it today, but I've been reading a lot of stuff today, so I'd be kidding.
I've got a lot of video cases where I've analyzed footage. There's a piece I analyzed of Apollo 12, just as they were landing on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've gone over everything, you know, I've gone over, you know, pictures on Mars and the moon and found bases and things in orbit around the moon. And the one where the Apollo 12 crew, it's the actual footage, they were just about to land on the moon, so we're actually coming in, you can see the moon getting closer and closer, you know, the surface as they're coming in, you can hear them talking to NASA and the pilots going over all the, you know, the checks all the way through. Just as they're about to land, they come over a crater, but as you can see in this crater, if you look on the video on my YouTube channel, you can see three lights as if it looks like they're going down into some sort of cavern or entrance. And it stuck out like a sore thumb for me. When I showed it to other people, they couldn't see it. But then when you show them where it is and, you know, you look, you can't see nothing else. And it's just one of the anomalies, again, you know, that I've come back with and found. Again, there's others where, you know, there's pictures of craft and where the astronauts are actually saying, what is that on the horizon? They actually say what it is. If they knew what the object was, or it was a hill or a boulder or something else, they would actually identify that. But when you can hear the astronauts saying to each other, what is that on the horizon? What is that object? That's when you actually start to question, and they pan around very quickly. So if you actually freeze the frame like I do within the footage, you can actually see that, you know, it's like a disc-shaped object.
That's the case that I was thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the actual mission because I've done so many without actually looking it up.
I think it was Apollo 14.
Yeah, that might have been 14, yeah. But, you know, I've looked over so much footage. I've gone over so many cases. I mean, one of the cases I still, to this day, think is one of the best pieces of footage of UFOs buzzing a civilian aircraft. It was in 2014. There was an Argentinian civilian pilot who contacted me, and he'd had sightings before, and he said, well, I don't want my name out there, etc., but, you know, I was definitely buzzed by UFOs, and this time I took my mobile phone. So it was the early days of the cameras on the mobile phones, around about 2014. Anyway, you can actually see the footage starts where he's flying. You can see he's filming straight ahead. You can see the cockpit. You can see the propeller through the windscreen. And then beyond that, you can see the cloudburst, which is about 5,000-10,000 feet in altitude. Very clear, you know, and you can hear the propellers going around. And basically from his left-hand side, his port side, he said he saw these two UFOs coming in, so that's why he was filming. And there's a large elongated craft that shoots right in front of his aircraft, a couple of hundred feet in front, and then it's followed by a smaller object right behind it. And then they both go to the starboard, the right-hand side of the aircraft, and they go in a formation of eight, that he said, and then come back in a very tight formation, and then buzz his aircraft again right in front, you know, in a very close formation, and then actually freeze the footage and go in slow motion. And that's all on my YouTube channel, if anyone wants to see it there. I think it's also been used on Paranormal Caught on Camera. I think I'm on the first episode of the second series. And Japanese TV have used it, and it's had, I think it's probably had near on 400,000 views on YouTube. And so I still think it is one of the best pieces of footage out there.
Yeah, I've seen that footage, and I mean, it's, I would think that that would be something that would be hard to fake.
yeah, they're certainly hard to fake, and any other aircraft which would actually fly so close to a civilian aircraft, once, I would say, is a mistake. You know, it's a close call, but to actually come round and do the same thing again, you know, in a tight formation, it's just unheard of.
By the way, we should mention that Jason will hang with us for the After the Paracast podcast, because there's so much to talk about the book and other topics, so we really want you to check around. After the Paracast, only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. Jason, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer.
The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I was looking around as we were progressing with the show at totally useless facts. And the reason I thought of this is because in setting up this conversation, we have to consider our different time zones. So Jason lives in the UK. Tim lives in Indiana. I live in Arizona, so many hours separating. And I learned this is true, that there is no complete accurate map showing nations' time zones in the U.S. and the local observance of daylight savings time. No central map. This is after how many years? So I guess they're trying to figure out what's going on, and the U.S. Department of Transportation will get it together. I mean, it's only 100 years, right?
Yeah, that's a small time, isn't it?
How many time zones do you have in the U.K.?
Just the one. It's such a small country, and even Ireland, which is across, obviously, but, you know, it's a couple of hundred miles, if that, you know. Yeah, we're all the same. Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, all the same time zone.
That sure makes it easy.
Yeah.
I was mentioning before that when you look at sightings around the world, sometimes you find distinct differences. And I'm thinking of the one that Alex Mistretta reported as his favorite UFO case from 1957 in Brazil. Tell us more. Antonio Villas Boas.
Villas-Boas case was the one where the farmer was abducted right off his tractor in the night one time and was taken on board a craft where then he claimed to have a sexual encounter with one of the female crew members.
That's it, yeah. It was in Brazil, wasn't it? 1957. And, yeah, again, this was one case that, you know, really stood out. Again, something, you know, quite personal to Alex. Again, this case was, you know, again, that stood out on its own for the fact that, you know, he actually, Antonio, had personal interaction with the female on board. And, you know, it's controversial at the time. You know, we're talking in the 1950s. Again, people didn't even talk about UFOs and things like this that are related. So it's very early. Again, it's very much like Betty and Barney Hill. You know, they're way ahead of their time reporting and actually coming out with the information, because again, it's so shocking to hear. It's like, surely that didn't happen to you, that isn't real, you know, that type of thing. So always way ahead.
You think about, you know, the 1950s Brazil and in a rural area. So that wouldn't be something that you would think that somebody would come up with to hoax, that they had a sexual encounter with an extraterrestrial. That just wouldn't fly back then. Yet the story came out when it did. So, yeah. And of course, Villa-Boas had a great reputation.
Yeah, it was, you know, he's a farmer, you know, he was obviously quite respected member of the community and things. And again, why would you actually come out and lie about something like this? You, more easy not to say anything. Just like Calvin Parker didn't want to say anything, it was Charlie that wanted to push the issue and of what happened to them, which is, you know, obviously quite a big thing. The Antonio case in Brazil was probably under the, you know, C7, which, like we said before, was, you know, sexual intercourse with it with an extraterrestrial, you know, that type of thing. Was it to do with artificial insemination, or was it to do with hybrids? We don't know whether, you know, it went on further from there. And again, in Brazil, especially now, modern day ufology, etc. In like Mexico, you know, they actually put their sightings on national TV. You know, they don't hide anything. It's all out there for members of the public. Whether they know what it is or they don't know what it is, they'll just put it out there and let people make their own mind up.
Do you think we'll ever see that day in the West where news outlets are open with UFO cases?
We're seeing it more. It's actually becoming more relevant now because, especially where the U.S. government are talking about disclosure as such, where, you know, the U.S. Nimitz, and they're explaining that they don't know what these craft are. They're nothing we've got, you know, whether you believe what they're saying or not. I believe personally, and I've said it for a long time, disclosure has already happened. It's already happened just because of the sheer fact and number of volume of people that have come forward regarding abductions and sightings. And I mean, I go out in my own garden and do an awful lot of CE5 and watches myself, sky watches, and I see craft all the time. I can eliminate all the time what they are because I know that they're not satellites or they're conventional aircraft. There's no strobe lights, there's no landing lights, etc. And I've seen literally orb-shaped objects that will come over and they will actually, we call it power up, where the object or craft would come over and it would actually power up very bright light and then fade off again. And, you know, this is a form of communication. It's a CE5 coming over. And I've had them where they've gone zigzag across the sky. We've got no aircraft that can do that. I know we haven't. And also we've had them where they're coming over and they're literally crossing each other right above me. So I know personally that disclosure has already happened. Whether the majority of people want to hear it from a government perspective or from a news reader, a news outlet, that's entirely up to them, you know. But there are plenty of people within ufology, and especially modern day ufology, that know for themselves fact that, you know, disclosure has already happened, and, you know, we're having interactions and sightings with unknown objects and beings, you know. I'd actually say that.
Can you tell us why you say disclosure has happened?
Like I said, disclosure has definitely happened because of the sheer wealth of people, experiences, you know, and people have had sightings and experiences in general regarding ufology that have come forward with their cases, from famous cases that you can see out there to people who basically don't want their name published, broadcast, put out there, but they're coming out with exactly the same things that have happened, you know, relative to sightings and experiences. Unless you want the US government or, you know, a government or news media from around the world or relative to your country to come out and sit behind a desk in a suit and tell you that disclosure has happened or is going to happen and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, it's totally not the case, because I know just through my own material and things that I've researched that it's already happened. Disclosure has definitely already happened.
Hey there, tell us, Jason, if we want to know more about you, where can we check you out?
Yeah, if anybody wants to know more about cases that I've analysed, etc. and stuff, they can go onto my Facebook page, UF Only. If they want to read any of the books I've published, we've got the latest book, UFO Encounters Up Close and Personal, the last book, yeah, UFOlogy Umbrella, and the first book, UFO Photo. They're all available on Amazon or through Philip Mantle's Flying Disc Press.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast groups, fan clubs, whatever they call them on Facebook. If you want branded merchandise with Paracast logos, visit theparacast.shop or theparacast.store. Pick your poison. And choose from four different logos. Theparacast.shop. We also offer the Paracast free of the network ads. Imagine that. Plus the After the Paracast podcast. Through the Paracast Plus. To sign up, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. If you use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, with your order, you get a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions for the Paracast Plus, theparacast.plus. Hey there, Jason Gleaves. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure, and I always enjoy these podcasts and radio interviews because you can basically banter ufology questions backwards and forwards, and that's the way it should be.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.